Ready? Kay. Repeat after me.
Repeat after you. Repeat after me.
Yep.
Yep.
Red.
Red.
Yellow.
Yellow.
Green.
Green.
Blue.
Blue.
What color is grass?
What color is grass?
There you go. Attaboy.
Are you hoping to get me?
I was hoping.
Welcome to This Week in MTG with your hosts, Matt, Danny, Anthony, and Big G.
Hello and welcome, Magic Folk, to episode 222? Or is it 21?
21.
It is 21. Okay. Of This Week in MTG, your aggregate news podcast for all things Magic the Gathering. We're your hosts. I'm Matt. Over there is... not Danny.
Shit, where'd he go?
I don't know. Hopefully nothing bad happened to him. Well, hopefully he didn't get lost in the wastelands of the Fallout verse.
Hey, wait, where's that other guy?
The Just Anthony?
Yeah.
Oh my god, did he get lost in the wastelands too?
Son of a bitch. Is it the Matt and Garrett show?
It seems like it's the Matt and Garrett show.
Whee!
Is there not... There's a radio DJ from the Fallout series that I'm aware of, and I'm pretty sure he has a commander card. DJ Cat Scratch, DJ something,
no idea, man.
Or whatever.
We're
that for the Wastelands, but nice. For This Week in MTG.
All right.
We're giving you all of your Wasteland needs.
Let's do it.
We're glad that you decided to join us. We're going to take a moment at the top of the episode to thank you, you dear listener, listening to this podcast. We're grateful for the opportunity to bring you the latest updates, insights, and discussions from the world of Magic each week. Here's to many more episodes of shared excitement and community in the realm of Magic the Gathering. Furthermore, we'd like to express our deep appreciation to the Patreons of the podcast. Their generous monetary support directly contributes to the success and continued growth of the show. Thank you for being an integral part of the podcasting journey and helping us bring Magic to life with each episode. Thank you, Amu the Fox, Noah, Slade, Nikki, No Modifier, Christian, Barra, KCB, Ricky R, Chris O, Ranger Dan, Crazy Mage, and Whack P. If you guys are entertained or are enjoying the content that we are producing, you don't have to be a Patreon to support us. Going to the podcast app, rating and reviewing raises up in those internet algorithms there. But one of our favorite ways, just word of mouth. Tell your playgroup.
Hey, man, I kicked your ass. You want to know how I kicked your ass? Because I paid attention to this show.
I would argue, yeah. Be like, oh, I know the BNRs. That's how I was able to beat you.
Or,
I know about this card moving up in price and was able to get actual money from it.
Or I suck at magic, but I'm at least funny.
There we go. And that's thanks to us.
Yep.
We help with that. Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention our LGS sponsor, J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming. Let's hear an ad from them now.
J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming, located in West Acres Mall in Fargo, is your one-stop shop for all your Magic the Gathering needs. In the store, you will find a huge selection of sleeves, playmats, and dice for you to personalize your battlefield with. Along with having a large variety of singles in their display cases, there are also binders and boxes for you to browse through. That much selection means that you will always find something you are looking for. J-Dubs is also the place to gather to play a wide array of formats with friends in the community. There is Commander League on Thursday nights, Modern League on Saturday afternoons, and Legacy Leagues on Sunday afternoons. And who can forget Friday Night Magic every Friday evening? J-Dubs has it all, Amonkhet to Zendikar, and ways to sleeve, shuffle, and spell sling. Now let's get back to the episode.
But thank you, J-Dubs, for supporting us. Now, with all that podcast business out of the way, let's move to this episode's breakdown where we'll tell you what you're going to be hearing today. First off, we're going to go over to the Boggle Desk where Big G is going to be having a Salt and Sugar report with us. Anthony and his bullshit. I love that. I'm excited. Talking about some Paradox Store Championships, J-Dub Sports Championships, and then the big event of the weekend, the SEG Con Philadelphia event. Then we're going to move to upcoming events, tell you a whole bunch of stuff, some exciting news in the FM area. Then, going to jump into the news with some news quickies, some Card Kingdom stuff, and then what everybody is probably here for, the BNR announcement.
Yay!
Then from there... We're going to play everyone's favorite game, the Conjured Currency.
Ooh, yeah.
Sucks at that game. Whee!
And then after that, y'all can go home. You can be done with us for another week.
All right. Well, let's get some salt and sugar out of the way. Sugar report. We'll obviously touch on it more, but B&R announcement didn't really change the plan for my modern deck for NRG Con, or not Con, but NRG coming up here in almost a month.
Yeah.
Dang. So, I got some time. Got some time to figure some things out, look at some things, you know, do the things.
You got some Modern League at J-Dubs scheduled up to do some reps with your deck?
So I was going to go Saturday.
Yep.
And at least kind of play with the base version of the deck. Well, store championships canceled.
Right.
Modern League.
Bump, bump.
And then I was planning on going the week before, obviously, get some reps in. We'll talk about why that's not happening here in the upcoming events.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. I talked with the wife and I was like, I'm going to want to get a couple rounds of like actual competitive play in. And then I know like Nomad and I have been talking. We're going to do some Spellcam Modern just so he can test out his deck. I can test out mine.
Oh, is he going to?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I'll get to hang out with Nomad a little bit while I'm down there.
I think I mentioned this before, but I'm still on that 90%+ chance of making it down to NRG.
Well, we might have to conversate after we're all done and figure some stuff out then.
Indeed.
Because we might have to get Wade involved as well.
Wade seems like a busy man right now.
He might be. I think he's got like two more weeks before he's got a like definite yes, no, but he's still leaning towards like yes, but he might be a leave Saturday morning to get down there type of guy.
Okay.
Like early Saturday morning, obviously. But yeah, deck's mostly done. I'm kind of just I've been doing some play draws and everything like that and trying to figure out a few things here and there with my sideboard now. But
so I know you asked for suggestions on the Discord and stuff. How is that like working? Have you put any of the new cards? Or are you still going with your base build and you're going to do some reps and then go from there?
I did take suggestions. So like the three people that gave suggestions were you, Anthony, and Wade. And I kind of took a little bit of everyone's suggestions. And kind of wrapped them in with the original base, and I'm going to see how I like this build of it.
Okay.
There are a couple pieces that I'm still like, but no, I want you in here. But I understand why everyone's like, no, take them out. Get them out of here. But I'm going to try to make things work. So,
are you doing like a 3-1 or a 3-2 split on Battlesinger and Bushwhacker?
4-3 right now.
4-3. Okay.
Yep. And I might bump that down to a 4-2 for the Bushwhacker on being on the 2 side.
Okay.
Because a couple of the times I've been hitting it like, it at least triggers the ally component itself because it is an ally.
Yes.
But I don't always have the opportunity to do the surge mechanic.
Okay.
Which is a lot of the reason why people are like, you need to put this in here. It gives everything haste. It's like, yeah, but...
So another suggestion. This one doesn't hit on hitting your allies, but it kind of incorporates both giving haste and doing a little bit of what Fable of the Mirror Breaker does with cycling cards. It is Bitter Reunion. Red 1 enchantment, ETBs, discard 2 cards, draw 2 cards, and then it has a colorless or generic, all your creatures gain haste, pay sack, all your creatures gain haste.
Oh, yep, that one.
And that could be another, you know, like a good like in between there as well to test in.
Maybe.
It doesn't proc on any of the ally stuff, which is unfortunate, but like it gives you card draw. There's no allies that give you good card draw, and I feel you just gotta bite the bullet on.
And that's one of the things I was talking with Anthony about today, actually. I was like, I'm thinking about this because I'm currently trying to figure out, I'm going to put a little bit of counter magic in my sideboard, but I'm trying to figure out what spell to put in.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm kind of stuck on Remand. Because it doesn't full-on counter, but it at least delays.
I would argue...
But then I get card draw.
Reprieve or whatever the Lord of the Rings one is, because that doesn't say counter, and with things of uncounterable with Cavern of Souls. It's the white Remand that yep. came out. So like it doesn't that doesn't counter where Remand counters.
Oh, yeah.
And you still get the card.
I got plenty of things to look at.
There we go.
I got plenty of things to look at.
But Fable of Mirrorbreaker. I'm still on that one. Is that one? Did that one?
That is in the deck.
Okay.
Woo. Yep. It is in there. So
perfect. That one just feels good. You know, it makes your creature, it gets your cards, and then when it flips, it just gives you more allies and triggers your allies.
It does, but if I remember right, that it does have that delay that I don't get to use at that same turn, though.
You do. You gotta keep her alive there, but. There have been plenty of games where...
But if that draws attention away from my allies, cool.
Yeah, I would argue like more or less you're going to be excited for getting the body and the cards.
Yeah, which, I don't know, there's a lot of components I got to think about and kind of figure out, and inevitably it's just going to come to a, this is the deck I'm using, this is the deck list I'm using, I got to run with it and I got to know how to run it. So we'll see how it goes. Obviously, I'll have a report that Monday after. But let's get to some salt. Got to play some Spell Table on Friday. It was Chaos Goose, myself, and Anthony, because everyone else was traveling or sleeping or something else. But Anthony has to show up to Spell Table with his Tezzerator deck and just beat the crap out of Goose and I. So, you know... It is what it is. It was still a fun game. I was playing a completely fair deck, so I don't see why I was the target for a while.
Define fair deck.
It's not like I was full on rage hitting people with coma tokens, okay?
Coma?
I was playing coma.
Coma tokens?
The reason for that is Goose and I, like, I was sleeving up the deck while... I was sleeving up my modern deck, and my modern decks, I'm going to double sleeve and everything, but not commander decks anymore. And I was talking with Goose about that. I'm like, yeah, I double sleeve one commander deck, and I will never unsleeve it, and I will never do another one. It's like, oh, well, speaking of which, I might as well play that deck. So, you know, it was fun. We each got some good hits in, definitely. Goose was playing his slightly upgraded... Fallout deck.
Oh, nice, nice.
He did the Mardu one. Yep.
With the tokens.
Yeah. So
he posted that in the Discord for that.
He had fun. So, but yeah, no, other than that, it was a great night of playing Magic. So, yeah. And then I did some play draw throughs last night with my modern deck, too. So, overall, it seems like it should work, but we'll see. But let's talk about some events that have been happening. So, the first go around of this is going to be the Paradox Store Championship, which happened on Friday night. And I don't have as much detail about this one as I do the next one, just because that's how things work sometimes. So let's congratulations to our friend Dylan. He came out with the one first place victory with his Esper midrange, and he took that away from Kyle piloting Esper midrange as well.
That means Dylan won the Douthi Voidwalkers.
The foil.
The foil.
Yep.
With the Paradox stamp on them. No. It's the... Yeah, both foil and non-foil have the Paradox stamp.
Yeesh.
And then Kyle got... Just
non-foil.
Non-foil.
Yep. So, but then let's jump to Saturday, which is why I couldn't play Modern.
Yep.
At J-Dubs. So the way this one, the top eight decks that turned out, and I'm going to double check that this is the way it worked. Yep. Okay. I was just making sure it was the way it was, and it wasn't just, this is the standings going into top eight. So first place, we have Reed, who took away the victory, playing blue-white artifacts. Caleb, playing blue-white control. Dylan, back at it again, trying to just get all those Voidwalkers. Came in third with his Esper midrange.
Okay.
Vinny came in with some red-white Convoke, which we've been talking about that deck in Standard. And then Gib was playing some Domain. And Eric was playing Dorithe. Yeah.
Playing what?
Dorithe.
Yeah. Spell it out. Let's find it out. This one's not ringing a bell.
It's right here.
Yeah, I don't know. Our friend Zach was playing some green-black mid-range, and our good friend Wade playing blue-black mid-range. The E and the A are at the end. Yep. Some spirits.
Blue-white spirits. This is Dorithe, Vengeful Victim, 4-4 for 2. When it attacks or blocks, sack it at the end of combat, and then it has a disturb cost of blue, white, 1. Flips over into Doritha's Retribution. It's an enchantment aura, and does the Geist of Saint Traft thing. When this attacks, create a 4/4 that's flying, tapped, and attacking, sack the token. Okay. So, yeah. Spirits aggro. Interesting.
Fun. All right, so let's talk about some SCG Con over in Philly. So, top decks and their winners. So, Michael, Deblanato Plumber. We're going to go with that. If I'm wrong,
Plumber. I would say Plumer instead of Plumber.
That's the part you're going to correct me on.
I'm not even going to take a shot at the other one, man. I'm going to go for the low-hanging fruit.
He walked away with the victory at the Modern 10K playing his Esper Reanimator deck. So this has Grizzlebrand, Grief, Solitude, has the
Falaji
Archaeologist, and then Atraxa Grand Unifier, along with some spells and some lands, and makes shit happen, and then brings it back.
Quick read of the Falaji Archaeologist, because that's not a card that everybody knows of. From the Brothers War, blue 1, 03, ETBs, mill 3. You may put a non-creature, non-land card from among the milled cards this way into your hand. If you don't, put a plus 1 counter on Falaji Archaeologist. And then, yeah, Goryeo's Vengeance, Momentary Blink.
All right, and then Michael did walk away with $2,000 for first place. And
beautiful.
You know, invites to regional championship at DreamHack in Dallas. So good for him. Congratulations. If you want to look at all 16 of those decks, go ahead and take a look. And then let's talk about some Modern 5K. So
I want to say this marks the second major SCG Con win in the past 6 months. So Plumer is doing pretty good in there. In November, he was up with a 4-color Up the Beanstalk control deck.
Oh,
before things got banned.
All right, and then the first of two Modern 5Ks that happened this weekend was won by Rachel Figgersh. I'm going with Figgersh. Rachel, if you're listening to us, I apologize.
Would it be Fane? Like Fingersh?
Fingersh. I'm going with Fingersh.
Fingersh.
That's what I'm going with. Walked away with victory with Golgari Yawgmoth, which that one, let's see, quick look at the list.
A couple things I note. It has an Ignoble Hierarch in the main, which is showing Ignoble and Blood Artist in the main, which kind of goes to the and Haywire Might, showing the fact of no longer having Fury. They can have these little toolboxy creatures that they can get with Cord or Coke. So with Cord of Calling in pretty easily.
Yep. So, all right. And then, won $1,500 and an invite to regional championship at DreamHack Dallas in May. Again, if you want to look at the rest of the top 16 deck lists, pay attention to the link. And then Julian Henry won the second Modern 5K on Sunday with Amulet Titan, which...
Got to pay attention to the lands because that's where anything would be different in here. And honestly, it looks like a very stock build land-wise here.
Yeah, I don't see too much. I don't see really anything new, too new.
Yeah, even in the sideboard... Which ones turn the earth? Boop, highlight that. Scroll back up.
Choose up to 3 target cards in graveyards. Owners of those cards shuffle them into their libraries. You gain 2 life and flashbacks for 1 and a green.
That's pretty good. So 6 cards back in your deck for 3 mana at instant speed.
Yep.
Ah, Storm's Wrath is the board wipe there. Yeah, I don't know. It looks like a Titan list.
But again, Henry did walk away with $1,500 and an invite to DreamHack in Dallas in May. But it is noted that he prevented another event from being won by Esper Reanimator.
Good.
Again, you want to look at the top 16 decks for that event, please look at the link. And then Patrick Owens won the Legacy 5K on Sunday with his Grixis Delver deck. So this is a Delver of Secrets deck. It has Dragon Rage Channeler, Murktide Regent, and Orcish Bowmasters, Brainstorm, Lightning Bolt, Force of Will, Chain Lightning, Daze, which is you may return an island to your controller's hand rather than pay the cost. It counters a spell unless the controller plays one, Mishra's Bauble, Ponder, and Molten Collapse, all in the main board.
I do want to point out that this is also running a single copy of Thundering Falls, which is the new Surveil lands that are land types.
Specific. Ah, yes. Fetchable.
Yes.
So he walked away. Let's see here. Should be that same 1,500 mark, but it's not saying in the article, unless I'm missing it.
I don't see it.
Okay. But I know this one we were talking a little bit about. Trent Corey won the CEDH 5K with Sisse Weather Light Champion on Saturday. So this deck, obviously, it's a commander deck. A lot more cards in there, but Sisse Weather Light Captain is the commander.
It's legendary based, and as we just looking through the list here, a lot of legendary type creatures or clone creatures.
And I don't see too many like legendary spells on that side, but plenty of stuff to work with. Some legendary enchantments. Planeswalkers obviously are legendary. Lands can be legendary as well. We're going to talk about the rest of the stuff that is not magic relevant.
Nope.
Cool. Look at that. There's SCG Con Philly. Now let's jump into some upcoming events. We've already talked about this one a little bit in the Sugar and Salt report, but we've got NRG Minneapolis coming up on April 21st and 22nd. Now, Saturday event is going to be the Modern 10K. That is where I will end up being. The winner will receive an invitation to the 2024 NRG Champs. And then Sunday, there is a Legacy 5K. Players can pre-register for both events through MTG Melee with limited on-site registration available for a higher fee. The event is capped at 300 participants, and on-site registration will be permitted as space allows, costing $5 more than the pre-registration late.
Currently, 13 players enrolled.
I was getting to that.
Sorry.
14 players, sir. Oh,
14.
Clearly mine's more updated than yours.
There it is. Refresh the page. We got 14, baby.
And then this nice little note in here from Matt, because he did up the show notes. And the exciting news on top of this is Big G will be in attendance.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was going to get talked about prior to this, so just wanted to tap it there. And also, like I said, 90% chance for me. It's looking good.
Hell yeah. So, yeah, we'll have to talk about rides and all that stuff. Let's see. What do we got? One more week for everyone to get signed up for the Spring Brawl League here with us on our Discord.
Free to join?
Free to join. Plenty of prizes to win. The card father, Nomad himself, has thrown down the gauntlet, said, let's do it. Let's get some arena play in here.
Yeah, we tried to get a winter one, but I think it was just too close to Christmas when we were doing that. Or was it a fall brawl? It was fall brawl.
Well, we got I felt like we got fall brawl going, okay. But we didn't get a jingle brawl going.
Yeah, okay. Because it was too close around the Christmas time and everything was just getting chaotic.
Yeah. And so, honestly, I probably would have been able to do it. I would have just been traveling. So, would have needed stuff to do in the airport.
Come join the Discord.
Yeah. And if you're in the Discord, just go to the Spring Brawl channel we've got on there. Let Nomad and I know that you're in.
Yeah.
He sets up the stuff, and between the two of us, we do the recording for the league. So just tag us, and we get your victories in.
It's very fun.
And for those of you watching the live feed, I'm pretty sure that there are still prizes up there in Matt's collection of things from one of the leagues that didn't fire. So
yes,
let's do it. Let's win these prizes. Let's get them out of Matt's possession.
I don't want them anymore.
And if
you got to win them.
And if Matt has a winning victory, maybe Danny and I will tell him what we hid so long ago.
I don't even fucking know. You hid something. I've looked up there, though I haven't moved a lot of shit. So
you've hid things. And you still haven't found it yet. So, or you've moved things. We hit it. You still haven't found it.
Wait, I've moved things?
Yep.
Okay.
Who knows? Let's move on. All right. So, let's talk about, for us in the Fargo-Moorhead area, some big news at one of our LGSs. Paradox is moving. They're getting a new shop.
Quick context. Paradox, been in this location at the Gardner Building since their opening.
Since the start.
Yeah, 95, I think, is when they officially opened up. And it's a small space. Not going to sugarcoat it. Yep. They had to then expand and rent out a room in the back to get an event center, which was bigger. It helped a lot when they got the event center. But it was still
I know, small. Talking with people. So to finish the context, Paradox has gone through multiple stages of renovation, even since I started playing. Because when I started playing, it was the main shop, and the play area was now where all the overflow comics are.
Yes.
And I can't even remember what that front part looked like. I can. The cards used to be where the wall of comics are.
Yes.
And then the comics used to be where the cards are now.
Yes.
So, like, everything's just all switched around. And it looks great. It looks awesome. There is a building in the downtown area. Rich wanted to stay downtown in the old Mexican village. So it's an old restaurant building.
Which is very cool inside there downtown. They have like steps that led down to a fountain. Confirmed the fountain will not be at Paradox if you didn't see that.
I didn't read the actual article. I was just talking with Rich about it via text message.
Okay, yeah.
And that didn't come up. But they are going to be moving in late summer 2024 to this new space. They will be accompanied by a record shop called Orange Records. Both will be in there. Mm-hmm. So this will be the new home of Paradox. And I know talking with a couple people that play both J-Dubs and Paradox, the nice thing is going to be that a lot of people are feeling is the fact that the play area will be back inside the store.
Yes. There's always a level of disconnect because you had to walk in a hallway to get to
it. It's not like it was a long walk. No, it was just the fact that legitimately, the first time you would ever go, there are no signs saying, hey, this way to the Paradox Play Center. You could honestly get lost if you weren't paying attention, which in this day and age, a lot of us will walk and text or walk and look at something. And that 3 seconds you look down, you might miss the one sign that says Paradox Car. You know, cards and comics.
Yep.
So it's going to be doubling the size. They'll be combining their event center and retail areas to making it a larger space for buying comics, playing games, doing all the hobby things. And then, like we said, Orange Records will be moving in there as well into a section of the building. And then, they're just going to be celebrating. Until the move happens, I'm sure they'll have some kind of like open house, you know.
A grand opening. There's going to be events leading up. They're going to try and do sales so that way they don't have to move as much product over. So
I'm going to be watching that.
Yeah. We'll do our best to keep you updated. If they give us if they drop when sales are happening, we'll talk about them on the podcast. Yep. And if you're near the FM area, like, please go support.
And then something coming up too. This could have obviously gone in the podcast updates. Rich wants to sit down with us, do an interview, talk with us. Because I shot him a message when the article dropped and everything. I was like, hey man, congratulations on the new space and everything. And his immediate response was, do you want to do a podcast? And I had to like respond back going, do you mean come and do an episode with us? Or are you trying to recruit me and snipe me out of my current podcast? He's like, no, I just want to come do an episode. I'm like, awesome. So we're in the process of figuring that out because Anthony is actually working on getting another interview set up as well. So we'll have two interviews coming up here in the next near future.
Big hype.
Yep. But let's talk about some of the until the move and any of these special events. Some events that are happening at Paradox. Some of these are pretty typical events that will happen on a weekly basis, like Standard Showdown will be happening on Tuesday at 6:30.
And you can get those sexy-ass Omen Path basic full basic lands.
Yeah, buddy. Commander Night, Tuesday night starting at 5. So, you know, go play around a Commander and then stick around for Standard Showdown. And then FNM, they typically will do Modern Draft and Commander. Commander starting at 5. Modern and Draft starting about that 6:15, 6:30 time frame. And then let's talk J-Dubs. We got, again, Standard Showdown on Tuesday nights. No big moves happening for J-Dubs right now. I think they're pretty settled where they're at.
Yeah, they got a nice space after their renovation, not last summer, the summer before.
Yep. So
2021 was their renovation. Yep. So that's 3 years ago. Holy
I know.
Fuck.
Dude, time is flying.
And it's a good space down there still. Yep. So go check out J-Dubs as well.
So that's just making me more excited to see what Rich is planning for that space that he has. Like, are they going to keep the tile? Are they putting carpet in?
I think it's...
How much of Mexican Village will remain there?
For those that don't know, Mexican Village is a very near and dear Fargo restaurant. They got a bigger location out west, the downtown one.
It's Tex-Mex. It's not always the best. Like, full transparency, but it is near and dear, that it's location.
Near and dear. Fun fact also, I don't know if you know this, but so Mexican Village has been around for years, like in the 80s, I think is 80s is when it was around first.
Sounds right.
And before that, that building was actually a grocery store.
Huh. Weird.
Yeah.
Do you know that just off the top of your head, or was that in the article?
No, that was off the top of my head because the owner of the company I work for used to work at Mexican Village just after they opened, and they were telling me, it's like, did you know that it was a grocery store before Mexican Village bought it? I'm like, I did not.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, a little Fargo history there for you on
this.
There you
go. This week in local history. New one for you. There you go.
I'm hyped on that one.
All right, let's get back to it, though.
I got so much stuff to talk about Fargo history.
All right, J-Dubs event, Standard Showdown, Tuesday starting at 6 p.m. Commander Night, Thursday starting at 6 p.m. FNM, which typically for them will be Standard and some Commander play starting up for sure at 6:30 for the FNM side of things. Commander probably starts up whenever.
Standard's been doing pretty good at J-Dubs.
It has been. They've been getting at least 4 to 6 people to show up on average. Mm-hmm. So they get events fired. So there we go. Modern League, typically, when other events aren't getting in the way.
Is your salt showing?
A little bit. Saturdays starting at noon. Legacy that never gets interrupted. Salt's still showing. Sundays at noon. Oh, look at this. An event coming up in the near future at J-Dubs on a Saturday. Do you like dual lands?
Yeah, I do. I don't have any, but I like dual lands.
Thanks, young listener. Well, listen here. Saturday, April 13th, 1 week before a big Modern event. At 12 p.m. with registration starting at 11 a.m., there will be a Legacy event that deck lists are required for. $80 entry and prizes do include an underground sea, volcanic island, Badlands, and Plateau, given to 1st through 4th. Drafted, starting with the highest finisher.
To make it clear with that, first winner chooses, essentially.
First, yeah. So they could clearly go for the pricier card, or they could go with what they need. Who knows?
Yeah.
Other prizes.
It's a fucking, it's a dual
lands for it one through four.
It didn't say which one it is. I doubt it's alpha. Most likely revised.
It's going to be revised.
Okay.
Other prizes may increase based on attendance. So
Legacy's big in here, and
it is
like
this is actually the reason they're doing this is Tri-City.
Is it affiliated with Tri-City? Because I didn't see the Tri-City they stated that.
Because
I was just going to bring up that the Legacy scene here is pretty good because of the Tri-City stuff, where they have the Grand Forks and the Minot dudes that do their events that we've talked about before. But I didn't see that Tri-City. It was mentioned, grouped in as a Tri-City event.
There was something But I thought somebody,
but honestly, it makes sense that it's Tri-City and maybe they just forgot to put it in the post.
No, what I was going to say is I think there is something that maybe it was in the Discord.
Ooh, another event officially with the Tri-City grouping?
No, I think this was just a... I saw it somewhere. Somebody post something. Fuck, I don't know. I think that something happened where Tri-City couldn't happen that weekend, so instead of doing Tri-City, they're doing this.
Ah, gotcha.
I think is what it is.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that for sure, but I think that was something that was going on.
Gotcha.
But there's that. And then one of our other friends who has a card shop, let's talk about Ultima. Oathbreaker pods fire off on Mondays, 6 p.m. Commander night, where you could run into our friend Amu, who pops on the podcast with us every once in a while, Wednesday night starting at 6. And F&M, mostly Pioneer and then Commander, starting up at 6. But that be all the events. If you know an event that we should make sure we're talking about, don't be afraid to shoot us a message. Join our Discord and put it somewhere.
Yeah, there's
so many channels.
So many channels. We got channels galore.
We got so many channels, we don't even know what to do with them.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Hey, why don't you hit us up with some of the news?
We got the news. So let's begin this week's news section with some news quickies. Today, over on the Wizards website, the first Magic Story article for Outlaws of Thunder Junction dropped called An Offer of Revenge. I haven't read it, so I can't give any insight as to what it's about other than some Outlaws and Junctions of Thunder. But keeping the cookies in the Outlaws of Thunder Junction, OTJ space, here is a reminder that the debut and card previews will begin March 26, 2 weeks away. 2 weeks. And the full set will be previewed by April 15th. Pre-releases will be happening April 12th through the 18th, with the global release April 19th. Now, moving out of the OTJ space and into the Wasteland space that is Fallout, those Commander decks are now out and in the wild and available for purchase. Make sure to check and support your LGS first, if you are able to, before you go to Amazon or a big box store. And I think I actually had a pull-up here real quick. I did. Online, current prices, to give you like a rough idea, apparently market price for just the regular case of all four decks, sub $200. All sold out here on TCG Player and stuff, though.
It doesn't seem right.
Yeah. A case. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shit.
Yeah, last one sold today and stuff, so it just sold out today is what it seems.
Huh,
no
cool
listings, but sub $200 for all four decks. These are the non-fancy Surge ones. The Surge ones are, as soon as the page finishes loading here, internet.
Loading.
They don't have a thing for the case of all the decks. But individually, $53, $46, $67, which is the most expensive one. It is the Mutant Menace, the Sultai one with the moth on the front.
That one played pretty well. Obviously, Game Knights did their playthrough of new Commander decks.
Haven't watched that one yet, so.
That one did pretty well. All the decks performed very well, and so these being another example of Universes Beyond decks doing well straight out the box.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Wizards, they really put the standard with the Warhammer,
yeah,
as like being... Warhammer was definitely the first out of the box, well, not the first, that kind of solidified out of the box decks.
They were the first Universes Beyond Commander decks,
though. They were. So
I would argue that, in my mind, obviously I'm going to have a bias, I think the Doctor Who ones are probably the best thematically and straight out of the box playability.
They're fun.
But, all right, Card Kingdom. Wait, you're all done with that, yeah? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Card Kingdom. Next up, we should mention that this blog post from Card Kingdom in response from a Reddit post. Card Kingdom addresses concern raised by on Reddit regarding an employee work conditions. All policies adhere to the union contract with UFCW 3000 established in July 2023. Overtime during releases is limited to 10 hours biweekly, capped at 50 hours per week, with overtime beyond 40 hours. paid time off or PTO aligns with union contract and Washington labor laws with additional support from FMLA and parental leave. A planned warehouse move to Monroe, Washington was negotiated with the union and provided employees with 8 months notice and retention packages. Card Kingdom emphasizes its commitment to employee well-being and collaboration with the union to ensure a positive working environment.
If I'm not mistaken, the post that this was a very, very well-worded post on Reddit from a past employee talking about even after Card Kingdom became a union, they were still very... they didn't follow the union code and were working overtime and wording it in a way to where it on paper wasn't overtime, but was overtime. Yep. And they used more flavorful language and stuff than that. And Card Kingdom pretty quickly felt the need to make a blog post to address that as well. And we are very pro worker here, I would say, and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So... You know, like, we're definitely going to be listening to the workers and stuff. And I haven't seen anything since this, because this came out.
That was today. Well,
no, February 26th. It was a little late on us to, to cover it. But
that might have been the week that we, could have been the week that we had off because everyone was sick and stuff. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? But the reason why everyone's here, Matt, hit them with those BNRs.
Today at like before noon, we
dude,
had
it was like 8:30.
It was the 8:30
I was
in the morning.
Scouring, oh, looking shit. For this morning.
Okay, Dan Muser posted over on the Magic official website the BNR announcement announced today, March 11, 2024. Standard, no changes. Pioneer, no changes. Modern, violent.
Oh, never mind. 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Okay. Sorry.
Violent Outburst is banned.
Yay! Woo!
Legacy, no changes. Vintage, Ponder, is unrestricted.
Yay!
Explorer, no changes. Popper, no changes. Effective date, Tabletop and Magic Online today, March 11th, 2024. The next banned and restricted announcement will be May 13th. That is after PT... Thunder Junction, I think.
Yes.
The list of all banned and restricted cards is in this link here. So we'll cover this real quickly. As we discussed during our most recent BNR announcement, December 4th, at the end of last year, we planned today's announcement such that we could observe and gather data from recent events both before and after the release of Murders of Karlov Manor. Since the beginning of the new year, we've seen nearly a full season of standard regional championship qualifiers, a full season of modern regional championships, and the Pioneer Pro Tour at MagicCon Chicago featuring Murders of Karlov Manor. With that information under our belts, we'll dive into the health of each format individually, whether a change has been made or not. Additionally, if you'd like to hear more about our thoughts on each of these formats, tune in to Weekly MTG on Tuesday, March 12th, tomorrow, if you're reading this the day it is posted, to hear more from Andrew Brown and Dan Muser. Pretty sure it's Muser. I feel bad if it's not. M-U-S-S-E-R. Standard. A little more than 10 months ago, we set to revitalize Standard. We updated the rotation, tweaked our banning philosophy, and added more events and opportunities to play and released several new sets. And we're thrilled to say that Standard is incredibly healthy right now, both in terms of the play environment and the interest of playing the format. Over the past year, the numbers of players participating in tabletop Standard play has trended upward, accumulating this past week with numbers higher than any other week since the pandemic. That's actually exciting, side note to hear. Like, if those numbers are true, like, that's good for them.
Are they pulling numbers from Arena as well? That's what I want to know.
There are more than triple the number of tickets, individual entries into events for Standard this year when compared to the same time period last year. In fact, Standard has now returned to being the most played 60-card tabletop format in addition to remaining the most played digital format. Oh, okay. So it feels probably a little bit of both. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're just like...
beefing the numbers a little bit.
Putting them both together, yeah. There. Though, arguably, again, as we were talking about with J-Dubs, like, Standard is shown well on Fridays that they're getting an audience, and you do see online people talking about going to play Standard events and stuff.
True, so, but, yeah.
Anecdotally, we don't got numbers. As alluded, Standard looks healthy and fun, with each macro archetype having multiple flavors and new cards, from Murders of Karlov Manor making an impact. Cards like Novice Inspector and Case of the Gateway Express have powered up Boros Convoked, while No More Lies has elevated Azorius Control. Trusty Domain and Esper midrange decks remain strong, and nearly all decks have adapted to the new Surveil lands. We have seen some exciting changes. New combo decks with cards like Steam Course Scholar, Reenact the Crime, and Conspiracy Unraveler. Perhaps one of the more interesting developments in the Standard comes from the winner of the 75K Open at Chicago, Ray Zhang, a.k.a. CFTOCS Online, whose deck featured Aftermath Analyst, a green card that deals with lands, Nissa Reanimate. Oh, the Slowgurk deck. We talked about this the other week.
Yep.
With a larger card pool than ever, players are having fun seeing winning strategies that can concoct that they can concoct in this new, larger sandbox of cards. As such, we have no changes for Standard and are excited to see what players cook up for Pro Tour Thunder Junction in April. Pioneer, we've made a few changes during our last announcement with the goal of setting the stage for a more fun and diverse Pioneer metagame. The Pioneer Pro Tour at MagicCon Chicago has since played on that new stage, and the results were exciting. Recent sets continue to impact the format, with cards printed over the last year appearing in top decks. No More Lies, Deduce, Meticulous Archive, and Exorious Control. Amelia Benavides Aguirre as the centerpiece of her namesake creature combo deck, Pick Lock Prankster, and Sleight of Hand adding consistency to Izzet Phoenix, Archdruid's Charm proving utility to Lotus Field combo, and the breakout deck of the tournament was a variation on Rakdos Midrange featuring our old friend Sorin Imperius Bloodlord with his new best friend Vayne Ripper, which took down the whole event. Congrats to Channel Fireball team and the winning pilot Seth Manfield. The recent unbanning of Smuggler's Copter has also made an appearance in the aforementioned Rakdos Vampires deck, as well as Is It in Soul list. With new cards impacting the format and a slew of viable strategies, Pioneers in a great spot for your upcoming regional championship qualifiers beginning in April. Explorer. Each card banned in Pioneer that is available on Arena is also banned in Explorer. Thank you. Now, this one. Violent Outburst is banned in Modern. In our previous Modern update, we removed Fury and Up the Beanstalk from the environment. Doing so has returned Rakdos Midrange to an acceptable level without deleting it from the metagame entirely. Since then, we've seen Teemer Rhinos, Living End, Golgari Yawgmoth, Amulet Titan, and Izzet Murktide rise in metagame share. More recently, players have seen some success with Leyline of the Guild pack from Murders of Karlov Manor, Indomain Zoo, and Rhino variants featuring Scion of Draco and Leyline Binding. Over the past regional championship season, Teemer Rhinos has begun to approach previous levels of Rakdos Midrange metagame dominance. While we want to preserve the Cascade strategies as viable options in Modern, we'd like to remove one of the more powerful aspects of their strategy, namely the ability to Cascade into a payoff card at instant speed. Casting Violent Outburst during an opponent's turn reduces a lot of the risk inherent in such a strategy. It allows the Cascade player to untap all their mana open and Rhino tokens or cycling creatures ready to attack. Both decks also include Force of Negation, which costs zero mana on opponent's turns, enabling a streamlined defense of the combo. Violent Outburst is banned. Removing Violent Outburst from the format will necessitate Cascade players to adopt Ardent Plea or Demonic Dread, which, for those like me that don't remember, is a Rakdos one. That says red, black, one, Cascade, sorcery, target creature can't block this turn. Unaware. And then force them to play on their own turn more often, weakening both Cascade strategies and reducing them to an acceptable level of metagame share, much like the Fury ban did to Rakdos Midrange. You want to take a second here? Comments on the Violent Outburst?
Yay! I'm still probably going to plan for a little bit of cascading bullshit, but to not have to as much worry about it at instant speed is nice.
Yeah.
And that's honestly the biggest thing. Like, I know Wade and I were talking a lot when they said, hey, we got an announcement coming on Monday. Okay. So him and I are sitting here talking. We're like, are they gonna ban Violent Outburst? Because the reason I thought it, because all the thumbnails I had saw was, like, it was the Violent Outburst art. So it's like, are these different places teasing that they know what it is? Or are they just speculating this is probably what it is? I don't know. Instant speed Cascade sucks. So I'm glad that they're tempering it down a little bit.
The thing with this, I would say, is the meta share on Rhino decks are going to go down. The fact that we still have Leyline of the Guild Pack as kind of a way to work on the mana to be able to have Ardent Plea or Demonic Dread here in the place does make me think that it's not going to be, you know, a non-zero deck.
It's going to stick around. And that's one thing I know Anthony and Wade and I were talking about today, because I was texting both of them about the ban announcement. And I was like, does this really change what I'm doing? No, I didn't think it did, but it still, like, Wade plays more competitive Magic than any of us. Yep. At the podcast. Anthony pays more attention than any of us to all the events as far as, like, diving deep into it, because he wants to be competitive, so he wants to do well, even though he doesn't always get the chance to go and play those events.
Like NRG Minneapolis scrub.
Womp, 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 womp. Should we take pictures while we're there and just send them to them?
Oh, of course.
Naturally. Good.
There are going to be a lot of bird flying pictures.
Should we get a cardboard cutout of Anthony?
That would be fucking hilarious.
Look, Anthony, you're here. And the best part is we could put like a deck in his hand and then like make it a sad face picture of him because he's losing.
We're in. I'm in. Let's fucking do this.
All right. Let's talk to some folks. Anthony, I'm going to need a standing picture of you that I can fold into a sittable position. And you need to have a sad face on. Thanks. Bye.
One thing with the teamer deck going forward, you know, the only changes I imagine, you know, you could probably not dedicate the amount of sideboard Rhino slots can go down from probably like maybe 4 or 5 to maybe 2 or 3.
I'm probably still going to run a couple of Chalice of the Voids and throw it in there on zero, because the nice part is it doesn't affect me with my Aether Vial at all, because it's like, nope, that's me putting something into play. It's not casting.
Still fucks up Living End.
Yeah.
Living End is still a good deck.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where, you know, now it's probably maybe planning a little bit more for like Living End, Golgar, Yawgmoth decks type of a thing.
Yeah.
So,
Graveyard Hate is going to be important, potentially. Yeah,
so we'll think about it and see what happens, and who knows? Who knows?
The one thing I know I saw people talking about was the One Ring is going to get banned on this one.
Oh, you think so? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they were speculating, and I'm just going to say, I don't know. Since it got out, like, it's found its home in its decks. It's in primetime decks. It's in Karn-style decks.
And on
Azorius Control does it as well, and it's not like backbreaking.
Teamer Rhinos was more of a problem in Modern than One Ring decks.
Well, the big thing is, as
other than
about
the fact
before,
that they play four copies of One Ring, the One Ring, there's four copies. That doesn't work.
Flavorfully, flavor fail.
Exactly.
But yeah, the meta share aspect of it is definitely always the concerning spot when you start seeing meta share reaching up to the near plus 20% of the meta. That's when it's like, okay, yeah. WotC has their eye on it, and they just want to make it a non, like, they don't want to clearly demolish it completely.
Yeah.
So.
But at the same time, demolish it completely. See what happens to the meta then. Who knows?
I don't know. Like, everybody's talked about, like, oh, burn it all down, remove all the bans and stuff, and, like, build from the ground up again. It's like, I don't know if that's going to work, kind of a thing, you know?
No, because then Splinter Twin decks are going to come back, and that was a big problem when Modern first started.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but people are arguing like Splinter Twin's not that bad of a combo compared to what we have for tools against it. And I don't know. Like WotC is going to be very careful of unbanning things or banning things. Yeah. Like they're putting time into it. Like they had the Golgari Grave Troll incident that definitely made them have egg on their face.
Yeah.
And they don't want that again at all. And Splinter Twin is just a prime example of they don't want that to happen again. I really, honestly, I would be surprised if Splinter Twin did get unbanned, and the only reason...
It never will.
Yeah, it's just going to stay there just because of the Golgari Grave Troll experience. It's like, yes, we know what happened with that. Like, we thought Golgari Grave Troll was going to be good. It's fine. We had the tools for it. Yeah, we're in the era of where we have now direct-to-modern print. Maybe there could be an argument, but I don't know. Yeah. WotC's not going to want to get caught with their pants down again for something like that.
So
diligent banning... And unbanning, I don't know. WotC's made it clear on that.
They'll figure it out. They'll let us know. We'll just keep playing the game no matter what. So
yeah. Some people will be saying, "Oh, I quit. I'm out of here now. WotC's done it." But yeah, there's always going to be players coming to it.
Exactly. So
Legacy. The Legacy format has changed slightly since we last checked it. Mainly with the inclusion of Broadside Bombardiers. Quick reminder, it is Red 2-2-2 Goblin Pioneer from Lost Caverns of Ixalan. Menace, Haste, Boast, sack another creature or artifact. Broadside Bombardiers deals damage equal to 2 plus the sacked permanent's mana value to any. Oh my god. I don't even know Legacy, but I imagine this is one of those things where you cheat in a big, and you dome them for a lot of damage.
Or you just make a bunch of nuns.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just two damage, treasure tokens.
Like, yeah, you can sack an artifact. Okay.
Plenty of options.
In both Goblin and Red Prison decks, control, combo, tempo decks, in addition to these updated red decks, are all jockey for Prison on top of the metagame, giving players plenty of options to choose. Orcish Bowmasters has crept into many macro strategies featuring in Delver of Secrets, Tempo, Variant, Sultai, Control, and Reanimator. While the play rate of Orcish Bowmaster isn't quite at the level of format staples like Brainstorm, Ponder, and Force of Will, it is something we're keeping an eye on. For the time being, we're happy with the fact that many different decks can win in top levels of Legacy. This one, when I first saw it, got a little confused. Vintage, Ponder is unrestricted. I thought it was just Ponder was unbanned, and I'm like, but I've seen players play with it and stuff. I was thinking Legacy, but this is Vintage. Yep. This is an older format. They have a restricted list. So Ponder is unrestricted. Ponder has been restricted in Vintage since 2008. It is not necessarily true that we want to reintroduce every card that has been restricted for over a decade, but evidence suggests Ponder is ready to come back into the 4-of club. While not much has changed in Vintage since our last announcement, we believe the spell-based combo decks in Vintage could use a little boost. The top of the metagame feature decks like Lurrus Saga, Initiative, and Mishra's Workshop Shells. Even if many Lurrus decks contain blue, they generally feature zero copies of Ponder. While this shouldn't cause a huge shift, it should give a few percentage points back to decks looking to find specific cards to interact with strategies more consistently. I don't know. I got nothing on Vintage and stuff. That's an old school format.
That's way too old for me.
I know it's a very intense format. I like the idea of restricted cards and stuff, but we got Anthony in the chat here saying, thank God for Modern got the ban of Violent Outburst, woot woos, and also yay for Ponder. Anthony, do you follow Vintage at all?
It's Magic. He follows it somewhere or another.
Like, Vintage is just primarily online. I haven't seen any, at least up here. We got Legacy events up here.
Yeah.
Again, anecdotally, maybe East Coast, West Coast, the Vintage scene is just huge.
Yeah.
You know, there's lawyer Magic players that have all the fucking monies in the world to be able to
good for to fucking play them, man.
And they want to relax with a strategy game after a day of lawyering.
I feel like Magic's not the way to relax after a day of lawyering, but you know, who am I to say?
I mean, yeah. You are not wrong there.
I am not a lawyer. I do not know.
You are a teacher.
I am teacher.
No, nowhere near a lawyer. Arguably, though, you know, comparatively, I would say a teacher more important than a lawyer. A teacher helps make a lawyer become a lawyer. A lawyer doesn't make a teacher become a teacher. A lawyer just fucks over a teacher a lot of the time.
Hey, buddy, we've been over this before. We don't need to talk about it anymore.
Okay. Well, That's it for the news that we got for this week. Yes, that is it for the news that we have. There's the BNR updates.
That's it. Yeah, that's all we got.
Oh, no. The modern stuff, yeah. Modern players, that's where you're going to be hearing the clamoring online.
Yay, and woo!
I guess we'll...
Wizards is the best, wee! 1 week later, fuck Wizards.
Yeah, it's an emotional roller coaster. The loudest the most disgruntled people are always the loudest. And, you know, next week when we go over the Boggle Desk, you know, we're going to be probably having a modern event that we're going to be talking about. And maybe do a meta share and see how Team Rhinos is doing in that meta share.
I guess we'll have to.
But now we're at the Conjured Currency section here.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for the Conjured Currency game, the weekly winner's game, if you will. In this game, one of us did not read the detailed and informative article of weekly winners from the wonderful website that gives you all the information you could possibly need on MTG Finance. That is right, MTG Stocks weekly winners article, and we will quiz each other on why the cards are going up in price, giving information of what the card is, what it does, what sets it's legal in, all that kind of junk. And then we have to say, this is the format. This is the deck that is making it go up. So if it's Commander, we have to, or if it's Oathbreaker, we have to give the Commander. And there we go. To get the second half of a point, you need the first half of the point. So you got to get the format right to get the second half right. So, and this will discuss 3 to 4 cards that are moving up in price. So is this 3 or 4 this week?
Three.
Okay. And then 3 to 4 cards moving down in price. So.
Okay, so did you read this?
I don't recognize anything, so
okay.
That you were pulling up, so.
Okay, well, I got the 3 cards pulled up here. I did not read this.
So
either
it's me. Can we get a weekly winners game scoreboard update, please?
Okay, so everybody is all flush again. We have, everybody has played 2 games currently. We'll save you for last.
Oh, okay.
We'll let the tension build. Yeah. We'll start with me.
All right.
I am at 2.6 points.
Yep.
2.6.
All right.
We have Anthony at 3.85 points.
Beautiful.
Then there is Danny, who is sitting at a beautiful 3.75.
Moved down. You've gotten dethroned from your not last place. Because I know no matter what my score is, it's higher than yours.
You are not wrong, sir. And we have you, Garrett, sitting at a very healthy, very lead-inducing 5.25 points.
Ooh. Ooh.
How do you feel about that?
I feel good. I feel good. No matter what I do this week, I might have it.
I mean,
I might have the top of the weekly winner board still.
I think
so.
No
matter what.
The only thing, like, Danny was fucking fire there. Last week, he got the format on every one of them. He just didn't go into the deck. If he took even a stab at some of the decks,
he could have probably got
him. Yeah, it would have put him at a further advantage than Anthony. But for sure, currently, you are in the lead. Danny's your closest running mate. But though Danny and Anthony are fighting it out, me, clearly I'm just in the dust now. I'm not going to be able to pointly recover from this.
It is what it is.
Okay. So, starting off, we have Path of Perils. This card, which is...
Single peril. Yeah.
Black 1, sorcery, destroy all creatures... And then it has the cleave mechanic with mana value 2 or less. So for black 1, destroy all creatures with mana value 2 or less. But it has a cleave cost of 4 white black. You may cast this spell for the cleave cost if you do remove the words in the squared brackets. So this card, Friday, jumped up 116% and was sitting at $7.24. And as of today, it kind of just still chilling there at $7.24.
All right.
We have a couple different versions of this card. There is the regular version, as you see in front of you, is the one that is getting talked about. There is the extended art. And then there is the double feature, which is the silver screen looking one. All of them have an increase in price. Now, this is legal in Standard, Pioneer, Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Commander, Oathbreaker, Explorer, Historic, Brawl, and Timeless. Average price today, $650. Market price, $503.
What do those mean?
Average is what people are selling at. Market is what they are buying.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
Foils going for $7.62. European average, €4.31.
That's the highest European average we've heard in a while.
Again, pricey. This card did have an all-time high at the beginning of the month of $9.39.
Ooh.
And yeah, those are the printings. That is the card, as you see in front of you. Now, Garrett.
Yo.
What is the format? What is the deck? If it is Commander, name a Commander.
I haven't heard a single thing about this in Modern, as far as any of the decks I've been recently looking at. And this seems like it's too slow for Legacy or Vintage. I don't pay enough attention to the Arena stuff. So, Oathbreaker, it's never Oathbreaker. Oathbreaker is never the answer.
Womp, 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 womp.
Sorry, guys. So I'm leaning between Standard, which seems likely, and then Commander, because who knows, but I'm just going to go Standard and black-white deck. I don't know the Standard decks well enough.
Okay. Well, you for sure get half a point.
Sick. It's Standard.
It is Standard. Quote, in Standard, it seems to be doing well in Golgari mid-range decks where you want to push the game into the mid-game, meaning that you have to survive the first few turns to get there. Being able to sweep those chosen creatures away from your opponent goes a long way. And then it's also mentioned in the Pioneer Rakdos Vampires deck. If you went that, I would have given you credit as well. And they're from the Sorin Imperius Bloodlorn Vein Ripper deck that did very well at Chicago. It was in there and sideboards. So,
cool. Yeah. Half a point.
Half a point.
Nice. Nice, nice.
Okay, next up.
Crimson Vow is still Standard, though.
Jesus. It is, yeah.
Well, that's right.
They extended it for 3 years.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Next up, we have Arwen, Weaver of Hope. This card should be familiar to you.
Yep, I accidentally played it.
Not following the rules.
It's weird.
We have a green 1/2/1 legendary elf noble. Each other creature you control enters the battlefield with a number of additional +1/+1 counters on it equal to Arwen, Weaver of Hope's toughness. This card is from Lord of the Rings Commander deck, specifically LTC. It has a scroll printing, a regular, and an EA, an extended printing.
Okay.
As of Friday, it jumped up 68%.
All right.
And is at $10.71. Today, Monday night, average $11.22.
Oh, nice.
Marketplace, $10.81. Holding strong and steady there. Players are wanting it. European average, €3.74. The regular printing of it does not have a foil.
Huh. Okay.
And we're only talking about the regular printing here, even though it does show all three having a slight uptick, but just the regular from the Commander deck itself moving up. Other information of note here, all-time high during the time of pre-orders had a $20 price tag June 10th, 2023. All-time low, $3.46, August 2nd, a month later. pre-order prices.
Shit. Okay.
So, now, legal in Vintage, Commander, Legacy, Oathbreaker.
See, I'm not going to make the mistake that you have so commonly made on a card that is mostly a Commander deck card. I'm going to say Commander. Other than it being a +1 counters matter deck, of which I don't really have a specific one in my head, I'm just going +1/+1 counters matter. Commander, final answer, locking in.
It's only fair to give you 0.75 for this one, I would say.
Sweet.
Okay, so we've been talking about this card a lot the past like month here. This is another victim of the Voja, Jaws of the Conclave. That is the elf wolf card that just came out in...
And I should have fucking knew it.
Karlov Manor there.
God. Fuck.
It was right there. And the fact that they said that whenever you build a Voja deck, it's probably going to be built around a +1/+1 counter matter themes, and that this makes elves and fits into that theme very well, I'll give you the 0.75
for
that.
All right. Not getting that full Monty no matter what I do this week. God damn it.
The work is put in there. I do want to highlight a couple other cards that they mentioned here as well. I would have accepted Galadriel, Elven Queen also, the mainstay card of the Commander deck. Then there is Sovereign O'Kinnick Ahu, which is the Cat Noble from Lost Caverns of Ixalan set that it is white, green, 2/3/4, ward 2. Whenever Sovereign attacks for each other creature you control with power greater than the creature's base power, put a number of +1/+1 counters on that creature equal to the difference. That one got a lot of excitement and stuff around that. I think Mew was one in the Discord that was talking about that. Yep. And then we have Zoyalakal, the Smiling Flood, the giant axolotl serpent that... enters the battlefield or attacks, put a flood counter on a land. That land is an island in addition to its other types for as long as it has a flood counter. At the beginning of your end step, untap each permanent you control with a counter on it. So those are recently the cards that are moving up because of it. Next. My little blue heart sings so much for this card right here. Here we have Counterbalance. Blue-blue enchantment. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may reveal the top card of your library. If you do, counter that spell if it has the same mana value as the revealed card. Originally printed in Cold Snap, this has an Amaket Invocation card, as you can see right now. A Secret Lair printing of not this winter drop, or of this winter drop, not this current spring drop. It's winter that it came out. And then a List printing, which I don't know which set that one came out in. Friday jumped up 35% and was at $17 even. Today, average price still holds at $17 even. Market price, though, $10.87. And we're specifically talking about the Cold Snap one. Yeah.
Right now.
It has a foil. Just play a little.
$58.
Cold.
45?
Colder.
78.
Warmer.
93.
Warmer.
Up or down? You got to get... Okay. 117.
Ooh, getting closer. Warmer.
Jesus fuck. $129.29.
Very close. $133.08 for the foil of this. As you can see.
Yeah, it's Cold Snap, so...
I don't know. I don't think lists... are able to become foil. Like, they don't have a foil list.
It would be the quote-unquote list is also this. They have the same indicator as the mystery boosters. So there could be foils in that. But
fair. Very fair. I feel that I would have said mystery booster instead of list there then.
Maybe. Who knows?
But needless to say, the amount of regular counterbalance foils are very low. You got the Amaket Invocation, which... is a foil.
Yeah.
And then you have the Secret Lair, which has a non-foil and a foil.
Yeah.
So,
Jesus.
Market price again, 10.87. European average, €6.08. Quick little history. All-time high of the non-foil counterbalance here, $47.87, January 21st of 2023. Had an all-time low back in 2017 for $4.74. Now.
Right.
Legal in Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Commander, and Oathbreaker. Garrett, can you tell me why?
I can tell you this pairs well with Sensei's Divining Top, and the only reason I can tell you is because of a guy I follow on TikTok who brought up that this is the most broken two-card combo.
Yeah.
But Sensei's Divining Top is not legal in Modern, if
I
remember right.
It is banned in Modern.
So...
Let's do a quick look to see where Sensei's Divining Top is. Sensei's. It is banned in Modern and Legacy. It's legal in Vintage, Commander, and Oathbreaker.
So then, I mean, the only other thing that, like, finagles the top of the deck would be Mind Sculptor, which could make it Modern. But you said Sensei is Legacy, Vintage, Commander, Oathbreaker?
Sensei is only Commander, Vintage, and Oathbreaker. Banned in two formats, Legacy and Modern.
Fuck, dude, am I going to go with it's based off of that, or is it something else? Fuck, I don't know. I'm just going to go with the... can't be Vintage or Commander causing it to go up. Well, we don't talk about Vintage as much on Weekly Winners, so I'm eliminating that. Oathbreaker never gets talked about.
Okay.
So Commander, Modern, or Legacy? Yeah, I don't even fucking know.
You're at a loss for words. We're flipping a puck.
Flip a little bit better puck. Modern, Legacy.
Okay. Leaving it to chance.
Legacy. I don't even know. I don't even know what deck.
Okay. So Legacy, not even a deck. I will give you 0.25 of a point here because Legacy is only mentioned that it's like just slightly the Murktide decks are just having it in the sideboard. It's just mentioned there. Primarily it's because of Modern and because of an Azorius control deck.
Okay.
So it is stated here, but quote, in Modern, we now see some decks popping up that play full playsets in Azorius control, and this deck looks a lot like Legacy decks from way back when. Terminus, Entreat the Angel, Jace the Mind Sculptor can manipulate the top of your library and put those miracle cards back on top of your deck, and you can draw them. So miracles in Modern is picking up popularity.
Okay.
But there is Legacy use in the Murktide decks, and if I'm not mistaken, we'll quickly look here. I think I did see in the Legacy deck. Yeah. There it is. God in the sideboard. Two copies of Counterbalance in the sideboard of the winning Grixis deck.
There. Yeah. Cool.
So, sir, 0.25 points. So, is that fair, you say?
Fuck, that's more than fair. I wouldn't have given me shit.
I mean, you called Legacy, and it is moving up because...
Puck decided it for me, man.
Well, there you have it. That is the Contra Currency section there. We have cheap pickups here to talk about. You got that article pulled up? You want to do the cheap pickups?
I can get it pulled up and get down there real quick. All right, so let's talk about some cheap pickups. The first one is brought to you by the MTG Penny Stock feature. This is where they will identify a card that's reached its bottom and is starting to move consistently upward. And that card is sitting at $3.15, Contest of Claws. So for a colorless and a green sorcery spell, target creature you control deals combat damage or deals damage equal to its power to another creature. If excess damage was dealt this way, discover X, where X is the excess damage. And then Vengevine is sitting. This is the Double Masters printing. Just regular Double Masters. Sitting at $4.49. It is stabilizing. And then the final card on the cheap pickups is Ensnaring Bridge sitting at, and this is the Masters 25 version, sitting at $11.41, slowly moving down.
I do want to point out before we move on, we got Anthony in the chat saying Surveil lands are a major player for the push as well.
Oh, I suppose that. Okay. All right. Cool. Cool, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Maybe you got to start planning for Counterbalance in your sideboard.
Yeah,
when you go down to NRG.
You know what that's done with? Cavern of Souls. In the main board.
Yeah, yeah. You got a full Monty of that in there. Full playset.
Full playset.
All right. There you go. You're telling Counterbalance, get fucked.
Exactly.
All right. So everybody's still at the same point. You want to know where you're at now.
Sure.
You are now at 6.75.
That's a nice, healthy lead right there.
That is a nice, healthy lead. Again.
Healthy lead.
Danny is right behind you with 3.75. Anthony is at 3.85. Oh, no. So Anthony's
Anthony
in the lead.
Would be
Anthony's
right
in the lead
me.
Just because yeah. of the point one.
The point one.
The point one.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
There we go. Yeah. Got your currency. There we go.
Fun, fun.
If any of these cards you're interested in,
yeah.
go check out the amazing TCG Sniper.
Oh, we've talked about these guys before.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They're a price tracking website. You put in links from TCG Player into TCG Sniper, and you set certain notifications, certain parameters of when you want to get notified of a card or a product, like any of the Fallout stuff. Like if Fallout, those Fallout decks that we were talking about earlier, if they do show up on TCG Player, mark it in there. And get notified when they get online. You can get in there, snipe them out, get those.
Oh, that's why they go with that name.
Yeah, clever.
They're thinkers, they are.
You go there. It's free to sign up. You get 15 cards to sign up for free. And it's honestly, it's the site itself is worth it for that itself. But if you go sign up and say that the guys at This Week in MTG sent you, you will get 3 months free of their Plus program.
What does the Plus membership give me?
Unlimited cards.
Unlimited?
Unlimited. You can have nice. any amount of notifications, and you can have text, Discord notifications, and emails sent of cards moving up or down a price that you so want to keep
beautiful
a close eye on.
Beautiful.
We use it here. It's fabulous service. Go check them out. Yeah, tcgsniper.com.
Hell yeah.
Do you got anything else you want to add to this episode before we hit the outro?
I got nothing, man. It was a fun episode. We've in the last month done two just Matt and Garrett episodes.
Yeah,
it's weird.
We got to check the stats and see if it's preferred.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. You and I.
Yes. Is there other duo songs? There has to be other duo. I feel that it's kind of like a slightly taken thing from the Dive Down because they do that as well.
Oh, yeah,
just the
yeah.
two of us, which is like, there's more. Two is better than one. What's that all-time low song with Taylor Swift from back in like 2009?
Dude, I'm not that much of a Swiftie.
Yeah. It's not a Swiftie song. It's all-time low. It's emo.
Oh, yeah.
It's emo.
Oh, it's two is better than one.
It is two. It's better than one. Yeah. Okay.
So
we're all-time low in T-Swift right here.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
thank you to all you legendary magic folk for making it to the end of episode 221 of This Week in MTG. As we wrap up another episode, we want to extend our deepest gratitude to our incredible listeners and Patreons. Your enthusiasm fuels our passion for all things Magic the Gathering, and we're honored to be a part of this vibrant community. Stay tuned for more exciting updates, discussions, and insights in the world of MTG. Until next time, may your mana be plentiful and your draws ever favorable. Keep gathering those magical moments.
Congratulations! You made it to the end of this week's episode of This Week in MTG. Your listenership means so much to us. Make sure to follow the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or on the podcatcher of your choice. You can watch the live stream recording of the podcast every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time over on YouTube and twitch.com/thisweekinmtg. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can send us a message to our Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email at thisweekinmtg@gmail.com. For all these links and more, check out our link tree at linktr.ee/thisweekinmtg. Thanks so much!
And the best part is we could put like a deck in his hand and then like make it a sad face picture of him because he's losing.